to Youth Sunday. Please stand and worship with us this morning.
In John 7:37-39, Jesus said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." This he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive.
And one. Let us pray. So, Father, this morning we ask that you do just bless this money for any short-term missions that there are happening. I just pray for them all that they would be able to reach out to people and show them your love. And I just pray, too, this morning that all of us here would feel that same thing. We just fill us with your love, your peace, your calmness, and help us understand everything that Brian is saying this morning. And I pray that you do just give Brian all the wisdom, the knowledge he needs this morning to just share with us exactly what you want us to hear, Father. So just fill this room with your Holy Spirit that we could just feel your love this morning, Father. I just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the Old Testament, God gave the Israelites directions to build a tabernacle where they offered sacrifices to cover their sins and where God's presence dwelled among them. One thing that was in the tabernacle was the bronze altar where the sacrifices were made. They would take the animal and lay it on the altar, and then they would tie it to the horns that were on the four corners of the altar so that it couldn't run away. These sacrifices were a foreshadowing of the coming sacrifice, Jesus. Unlike the Old Testament sacrifices, he was human and perfect, and he had the power to get off of the altar, the cross. However, he allowed men to nail him down so that he could save all who would believe in him and accept his sacrifice.
Streets have stopped.
from the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads and myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them say, "To him who sits on the throne and the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped.
See you. you are and everything you've done and all that you do. Thank you for the beautiful weather that we get to enjoy outside and your creation and everything that you've created. Thank you for creating us with a purpose and a mission. I pray that you would put it on each of our hearts to pursue you with everything that we have, to find your purpose, and that you we would let you use us to fulfill your purpose. Pray for everything that you have for Brian to say this morning, that it could come through clear to each of our hearts, and that we could take something refreshing from it for the week ahead. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen. Well, good morning. My name is Doug Becker, and I'm president of the youth group here at Bowmansville. And so now it's my turn to share a little bit about what we've been doing in the last 3 months. So we have a mission statement, and I've probably said it before, but I'll just mention it again. It's nurturing tomorrow's church through fellowship with each other, serving others, and studying God's word. So that's something that we strive to do with the youth, is kind of have activities in all of those areas so that we can develop people as they go into adulthood. So a few things that we've done in the last 3 months to fellowship with each other. In December, we had a New Year's Eve party, got together and stayed up late, and things that you do at a New Year's Eve party, and had fun enjoying each other's company there. In January, we did a stay-at-home retreat, and what that looked like a little bit was we didn't go away to a cabin or anything along those lines. We actually used Dwayne Donna's basement, so thanks for letting us use that. We would go and meet there and have meals together, and we had sessions it was about, see if I can remember what it was about. I didn't think about this. It was talking about how following God's mission, whenever other people might see you as a failure, the speaker he was on video, it was Tim Tebow, and he was saying about how even though he didn't achieve everything that an athlete could have achieved, he felt like his mission was to give God the glory, and so that's what he strived to do, and it didn't matter whether he was a success or not, God still worked through him. And then in February, we got together to watch the Super Bowl, so that was fun to get together and eat and debate about who's the best, but I guess we found out. So, as far as serving others, hopefully ways that we were able to serve and bless the congregation here in December, we went around and Christmas caroled to some people that remembers here. And in January, we had our soup fundraiser. Some of you supported us there, and thankful for your donations, and it sounded like the soup was good, so we're glad that you guys enjoyed it. We also helped Ken Whitmer move some things in his house as he was preparing to make some changes. And then in February, we had the Valentine's banquet, and I hope that that was a blessing to you, the program that we put on, and that it was a time that you guys could get together as families or whatever size community to eat the meals. I hope that was a blessing for you. And then the last thing that I have is about studying God's word, and that's about some of the Bible studies that we've been having. Back in January, we talked about the stories of David and Jonathan, the friendship that they had, as well as the relationship between Ruth and Naomi. And the things to learn, or what we learned from that, is being a good friend when somebody needs you, even if it doesn't make sense. And there's a great example of that. That's what Jesus does for us. In Proverbs 8:24, it says, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." And I would say that's referring to Jesus. He sticks closer than even a brother can. And that's through all of history, despite all the mistakes that the human race has made since sin entered the garden until now, and even every time we stumble and sin, God is waiting with open arms. He's waiting for us to give up ourselves and place who we are in his hands so he can heal us and enable us to fulfill his purpose in our lives. So that's some of the things that I've taken out of Bible studies we had. So the last thing I have to share is, some of you may know, we had been planning a summer service project trip to Belize. It was going to be out of the country, but that got rescheduled, hopefully for a later date. But as we reevaluate how we might want to go out and serve others this summer, I just ask that you would pray for Brian and myself and the other youth leaders as we kind of reevaluate that and see where we might fit in best. So yeah, that's everything I had. Thank you.
Okay, it looks like we got a slideshow. Emma took time to prepare a slideshow. I think the computer was giving us some fits, but we got it. Okay, let's watch the slideshow. Okay. Wait. What? I was supposed to be singing during that? Oh. Oh, sorry. Well, maybe I'm not so sorry. So we're talking about wisdom this morning. And I thought I can't go through a time of talking about wisdom without saying this. I heard this in a podcast that I listen to sometimes called Unashamed. It's better to be on the river thinking about Jesus than it is to be sitting in church Sunday morning thinking about fishing. That's pretty wise, isn't it? You got to think about it for a little bit. Okay, so the children can come front. We have a children's message here this morning. Look at that. They're pouring front. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. So we got 12, 13. We got 13 people. Okay, I got something in this little container here. It's kind of interesting. You'll get to see it, but first I'm going to see if you can listen to it and see if you can guess what it is. I'm going to hold it to the microphone. Can you hear that? Any guesses? No. I'm going to just walk around so you can see it. You know what that is? Yes. Lucy guessed it. Anybody else know what that is? Whoops, I'm sorry. I stepped on your toes. Yeah, see that? I hear a couple people are guessing it. It's the tail of a rattlesnake. I don't know if you can hear that or not. But yeah, it's the tail of a rattlesnake. So I want to give you a little bit of knowledge about rattlesnakes, okay? First of all, rattlesnakes are venomous snakes. Snakes got to eat. So what rattlesnakes do when they got to eat is they bite whatever they're going to eat, and they shoot their venom into it, and it kills it. And then that's how they kill it, to eat it, okay? So the thing about rattlesnakes is they can bite people, too. And when they bite people, it can kind of be a dangerous situation because they shoot their venom into people, too. So I got this cousin of mine who, for some reason, he likes to hunt rattlesnakes. He'll go around looking for rocks where it looks like there's a rattlesnake living under it. And he takes this stick that he has, and he pokes around at the rock to make sure that there's no rattlesnakes, like, right around the edge of the rock. And when he clears it with his stick, that's what he calls it, then he'll go ahead and take his hand and stick it under the edge of the rock and lift it up and see if there's a snake under there, okay? And he's done this dozens, maybe hundreds of times. And one time he saw a rock, he said, that's a perfect rock for a rattlesnake. And he went over, and he forgot to clear it with his stick. And what do you think happened when he stuck his hand under there to pick the rock up? Yeah, a snake bit him in the finger, a rattlesnake. It bit him right in the finger. Now, luckily, he had his friends with him, and they got him to the doctor, and he got help. And he's better now, except for when the fang from the snake went into his finger, it messed up the insides of his finger a little bit, and his finger's crooked now. But, like, the venom, he's all better from that. So, you know that snakes are venomous, right? You have that knowledge. And you also know that you can get bit by a snake and still survive. There's a guy in the Bible, his name's Paul. He was on a boat, and the boat crashed, and some of the survivors swam to shore, and they were cold from swimming. So there was a fire there to warm up by, and the fire, I think if I remember the story right, the fire kind of disturbed some venomous snakes in the area. And Paul went to grab up a piece of firewood, and when he did, a snake grabbed him in the hand and bit him, and he lifted his hand up, and the snake stayed hanging from his hand. So sometimes when snakes bite, they just bite a little bit, and they don't put all their venom into you. But in this case, that snake stayed hanging on his hand, so it was probably shooting all of its venom into him. And also, when he lifted it up, everyone else saw what kind of snake it was, and they said, oh, man, that is a very deadly snake. He's as good as dead. But he didn't die. God saved him, too. So you know that snakes are dangerous and their venom can kill, but not always, okay? So let me ask you this. What's the most, like the least spot that I'd want to get bit by a snake? How about in the brain? Seems reasonable, right? What if a snake bit me right in the brain or the eye or something like that? Okay, what if 100 rattlesnakes bit me right in the head? Do you think that God would have the power to save me? Yeah, you're right, he would. You're right, that's true, he would have the power. So now you know that God can save people that get bit by rattlesnakes, but their venom is very dangerous, okay? So I have something in this box, okay? It's not a rattlesnake, okay? But it is a rubber snake, okay? Anybody want to hold the rubber snake? Hold it up over your head, show every, here. Hold it up and wave it around. See, look, it's a rubber snake. We don't bring rattlesnakes to church. It's, yep, it's a rubber snake. Okay, now, you guys know a little bit about snakes now, right? You have some knowledge about snakes. They're dangerous, and they can kill, but God can save you from that, too. Now, what if I decided that I wanted to handle that snake? Pretend it's a real snake now, okay? What if I decided that I wanted to handle that snake for no good reason? Say I just wanted to reach in there and I don't know, what would I do if I wanted to handle it for no good reason? Pet it, right? Okay, is it wise? Remember, pretend there's a live rattlesnake in here. Is it wise? We know about snakes. We have the knowledge about snakes now. Is it wise for me to just reach in here and pet it? No. It's not. No, why not? Because it's a rattlesnake. We don't reach in and handle and pet rattlesnakes, right? So even though we know about them, we know they're deadly, and we also know that God can save us. He already saved my cousin and Paul. We still don't handle rattlesnakes, right? So, and that's wisdom telling us that. So you have knowledge, and wisdom is like one step better than knowledge, all right? So, you know not to handle snakes, but I got a special kind of snake for you that you can handle, okay? It's a gummy snake. So when you go out through here, you can see Nicole in the brown sweater and grab herself up a bag of gummy snakes. Now listen, they aren't really gummy snakes. They didn't have gummy snakes. They had gummy worms. So they're like little snakes. So you can go ahead and get some gummy snakes, and they're perfectly safe. And then you can go sit back to your parents. Thank you, Doug, and for your comprehensive report. And for Sierra, we're blessed as a group to have somebody like you, Sierra, with your gifts leading our worship time. You do a really good job with that. Thank you. Okay, so the message this morning is called Called to Deep Wisdom. And it's part of a Lent series. A couple weeks ago, Tony delivered a message called Called to Relationships, and Larry did Called to Commitment. And now it's Youth Sunday, and we're doing Called to Deep Wisdom. You'd think the old-timers would get the wisdom one, maybe like Larry or Sheldon. No offense, guys, but you'd think that maybe they would be the ones doing the wisdom. But it's Youth Sunday, and we're doing wisdom. Go figure that out. That's just the way it held out, I guess. So if there could be a subtitle to this or another title, I think I would say Heaven is for the Wise. So in the next few minutes, hopefully I can explain to you three different things about wisdom. What wisdom is, what it isn't, and how do I gain wisdom? How do I become wise? Okay, so there's three things. Okay, what is wisdom? Well, I've heard it said that wisdom is the application of knowledge, right? The wisdom is the application of knowledge. You know, you have knowledge and you apply that. That's wisdom. And I can go for that. But for the case of the message this morning, I'm going to go a little bit further into that and say wisdom is the application of the knowledge that you have and the correct inference of what comes next. Now, sometimes when we're having youth group Bible studies, I have this fear that I'm going to use the wrong word or I don't quite know what the word means that I'm saying. Inference. I think that means like to know what comes next, to infer what comes next. Is that right? Okay, I'm getting a nod. If I'm wrong about that, just pretend that's what it means because you're going to hear me say that a lot. Okay, so wisdom is the application of knowledge and the correct inference of what comes next. Okay, so let me explain. I'm in the construction industry, and we work hard over the summer and the winter and the fall, summer and fall and spring. And winter, we don't work as hard because the conditions aren't as good. So one of the things we do is we bring all our equipment in that got busted up over the summer, and we fix it over the winter. You fix it like with coat hangers and duct tape over the summer just to keep it going, but you fix it right in the wintertime. And when I worked at Brubacher Excavating several years ago, it was the same thing. In the summer, you could go in there into the shop and see, I don't know, maybe 10 mechanics working around in there. And in the wintertime, if you'd go in there, you'd see like 20 guys working around in there. So I'm trying to explain here this idea that wisdom is the application of knowledge and the correct inference of what comes next. So the mechanics had wisdom in this story, okay? They were the guys that were always in there, and they knew about mechanic stuff. The other guys were just guys that were in there helping them, because when all the equipment comes in, the 10 or so mechanics that are usually in there are overloaded with work, and the guys that are usually out running the equipment need something to do. So they're all in the shop, okay? And the mechanics kind of had a sarcastic joke going about all the guys that were helping them that weren't mechanics. And the saying was, it was kind of a joke saying, it went something like this. Loose is bad, tight is good, and tighter is better. They were talking about spinning a nut onto a bolt. So if you know anything about mechanic stuff, if you have two pieces of metal that you want to put together with a hole in them, you line up the hole, put the two pieces of metal together, put a bolt through there, and spin a nut on the end. And you tighten it a little bit, and when it's loose, it's not good. The metal will not quite be tight. When you tighten it up, that's good. Then they get together, and they're tight. And tighter is better, right? Well, if it's two big chunks of metal with a real big bolt, yeah, tighter is usually better. But that's not always the case. For example, a car tire. If you're changing your tire, and I know this because I've personally experienced this. If you change a tire, you take the old tire off and you put the new one on, You line up the holes, put it on, spin the nuts on, and they're loose, right? And that's not good yet. If you ever try to drive with loose lug nuts, you know that that doesn't really work. Tighten them up, that's good, right? And tighter is better. No, not really, because it's not just one chunk of metal to another. A wheel is kind of complicated, and the part that you put the wheel on, what's that called, Doug? I wouldn't have knew that. The rotor. The rotor has these bolts coming out of it, and if you put that wheel on and tighten it too much, you can actually deform the rotor, and then it's almost like loose lug nuts. It's bad. So even though everybody working in the shop there had some basic knowledge, right, the mechanics were the ones that had the wisdom in that case. They were able to correctly infer what would happen based on their knowledge. Okay? So remember, heaven is for the wise. Well, now I hope you got an idea what I'm trying to say what wisdom is here. But now let me talk a little bit about what wisdom isn't. Okay? Wisdom isn't fast. I see a bunch of people here that have a similar background to mine. I think it's probably fair to say you have kind of a plain background. There's probably a lot of you, it's cold today, a lot of you that at your house right now, you have an iron box with wood burning in it to heat your house. It's kind of a plain thing to do. Some of you, I know some of you have older things, cars, whatever, that work. So you don't upgrade them when maybe you could or should, but you don't. It's just kind of a plain culture that we live in. And that's kind of what we are here in our little corner of the county. But in reality, if you look at where we live, it's one of the most built up, urbanized, fast-paced areas in the state, really in the world. Like the Eastern Seaboard, this is really, really a fast-paced, urbanized area here that we live in. We kind of lose sight of that. I know people that have lived here that have moved away and said, man, I'm so glad I'm not there anymore. I'm so glad I'm not in the rat race. So wisdom isn't fast. Wisdom doesn't take part in the rat race. But wisdom also isn't lazy. I know sometimes I'll visit those people in those rural areas that move away, and I'll drive by a house, and it's fallen down, and maybe the front porch, like, fell off, okay? And I visit them, then go home, and then next year I go visit again, and I see somebody built a front porch on the house, but they didn't really. They just put like 2 2-by-4s up and strung a tarp across, and they're sitting there on their porch drinking iced tea saying how glad they are that they don't live in a rat race. Okay? So wisdom isn't fast, but it's also not lazy. Wisdom isn't what I would say rammy or arrogant. In this culture, us men tend to take some pride in how hard we work. Right? How many times have you heard this? I worked 80 hours last week and I made $1,000 a day. Okay, well, wisdom isn't arrogant or rammy. What didn't you do when you were working those 80 hours last week? And are you going to lose $1,000 a day next week? Wisdom isn't arrogant. It isn't rammy. But it's also not unproductive. An unproductive person goes to get a job at the widget making factory and by an hour before lunchtime, they have 9 widgets put together, and they realize that their quota for the day is 10. So they sit back and say, oh, well, I can take the afternoon off. So they had this incredibly productive morning, and instead of duplicating that in the afternoon, they become unproductive. Wisdom is not unproductive. See, wisdom isn't extreme, unless you're talking about extreme love for Jesus. And I work with teenagers, and when we say love, sometimes we mean something a little different than the love I'm talking about here. Hopefully you guys know this by now. Love means to be unselfish, right? So it sounds better to say unless you're talking, wisdom isn't extreme unless you're talking about your extreme love for Jesus, but you could say your extremely unselfish attitude towards Jesus, right? Wisdom is not extreme in politics or emotions. And it's unwise to take an extreme stance in defending your particular denomination among other Christians, too. I see that sometimes. I believe pretty much the same thing as most of the people I see sitting here Sunday morning. But it's foolish to build walls separating us from the church down the road because of this slight difference or that slight difference. It's unwise to build walls. We should be united by a common goal and a common enemy. So heaven is for the wise. Now we know what wisdom is and what wisdom isn't. So how do we become wise? That's the big question. If heaven is for the wise, I want to be wise. How do we become wise? So I'm going to read Proverbs 24, 3 and 5. Sometimes we say, sometimes we say, turn with me to Proverbs 24, 3 and 5. Do we say that anymore? Maybe not, because Larry and Tony do a really good job of putting the scripture on the video there, and you don't have to turn, you just look, right? But I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but when we say turn with me to or read with me, what we're saying is, this goes into wisdom. Don't trust me. Look for yourself, okay? So I'm going to say, turn with me, since I don't have it up there, to Proverbs 24, 3 and 5. And if you didn't bring your Bible, check it out when you get home. Okay, Proverbs 24, 3 and 5. 3, 4, and 5. A house is built by wisdom and becomes strong through good sense. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with all sorts of precious riches and valuables. The wise are mightier than the strong, and those with knowledge grow stronger and stronger. Those with knowledge grow stronger and stronger. So how do we become wise? By seeking knowledge, okay? We start by seeking knowledge. Where do we seek knowledge? For students, school, parents, peers, friends, books, internet, computer stuff, okay? Those are all good ways to seek knowledge. But the thing that you need to understand about knowledge is knowledge only gets you so far, right? You got to take that next step. The most limiting factor to knowledge is who or what is passing the knowledge on to you. When you're learning, you're only learning what the teacher's telling you, right? If all you're learning is the facts and the knowledge, you're only as good as the teacher that's telling you. Margaret Sanger is the founder of Planned Parenthood, okay? And she influenced many people to believe that abortion was the answer to making a better population of human beings. And she was a highly educated and very knowledgeable person. The Margaret Sangers of today are lurking in the shadows, just waiting for the right time to pass their knowledge on to you. So how do I become wise and how do I use this knowledge? So you got to seek knowledge, but don't stop there, okay? Don't stop with the knowledge. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. See, that's that inference of the correct next step. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and He will show you which path to take. When you do that, when you trust in the Lord with all your heart, all you do and all you think is influenced by Him, because He is part of you, right? And everything you do and everything you think and all this knowledge that you have about snakes, but you still know not to pet a snake, right? All this knowledge that you have is viewed through the lens of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So you trust in the Lord with all your heart, ask Him to become part of you, and that's how you make that next step from knowledge to wisdom. Wisdom is the application of knowledge and the correct inference of what comes next, or which path to take. So poetry and me are something that I never really was into, but I read Psalm 19 in preparation for this, and if you think you have problems with wisdom and understanding wisdom, this is a really practical look at how to gain wisdom through our everyday life. So I'm going to read Psalm 19, and then I'll have a prayer, and then we'll have a song. Psalm 19. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a word, a sound or word. Their voice is never heard, yet their message has gone throughout the earth, and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at one end of the heavens, and it follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making the wise simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commandments of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dipped from the comb. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. For the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So we'll pray and we'll have a song. God, help us to seek knowledge, but not stop there. Remind us to view the knowledge that we gain throughout life through the lens of you living within us. And that is wisdom, Lord. I just pray for wisdom for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh,
Sometimes we have some announcements now, but I didn't hear of any, so I don't think we have any. So, receive this parting blessing. Have peace as you combine all of your thoughts and actions with the wisdom of God. You're dismissed.